Host for There Is Hope is Richard Dover.
Father, we come to you and we want to talk about what is faith. And your word gives us the answer. And I thank you that your word gives us the answer to every question we have. There's some kind of answer, some kind of principle we can find in the word of God. So, Lord, I pray that we learn what faith is and that we'll learn to walk in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is faith? Let's see what the Bible says faith is. Hebrews 11:1, this is the New Living Translation. Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for is going to actually happen. We believe what we hope for is going to happen, and we have the assurance that it's going to happen even if we can't see it. Notice some key words here. Confidence, hope, will happen, assurance, cannot see. So first off, faith is confidence. What does confidence mean? It means you're absolutely convinced. You have confidence that whatever it is that you're going to do, believe, is going to happen. So if you go to flip the light switch on, what do you have? You have confidence that what? The light is going to come on. Unless you know the light bulb has been there for 50 years. Then you might not have as much confidence. You might start flipping it, wondering if the light bulb is going to come on. But when we talk about the confidence here, is absolute confidence that what I am hoping for is going to actually happen. So the next one is hope. That we hope for something. Notice it doesn't say wish. Just like I said in the bulletin, how many people actually trust in wishing wells? Do you? If there's anybody trust in it, I want you to go get your grandpa's silver dollars that he stored for 100 years now and throw them in there. And trusting that those silver dollars are going to bring you a whole lot more when you throw them in the wishing well. It doesn't say that we wish. We're not wishing. We have a hope, and we have a confident hope. And it says that they have a hope that what? It will happen. So faith is that, listen, we have the confidence and the hope that what we're asking for, what we're praying for, what we're believing, that it will happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. No doubts about it. It's going to happen. So if we use that as a definition, how many know that most of us don't walk in a lot of faith at times, if we're really honest? You know that a lot of times we're not walking in faith, we're walking in wishing and hoping. We're not walking in faith because it says we have the assurance, we absolutely are convinced that it's going to happen. And if that's the case, then it's not. How many know we pray this? Heavenly Father, if it be your will, if you possibly want to do this, do it. Is that faith? That's not faith. Heavenly Father, if it's your will, first off, pray his will. Pray his will. Instead of saying, if it's your will, how about praying his will? So this is what we do, and I understand why we do it, but, you know, sometimes we give clauses to help God out to get the escape. And this is what I mean. We'll put stipulations to our prayer, so just in case God doesn't answer, he's off the hook. Does God need to be off the hook? If you're praying his will, it's his will. So this is what we pray. Lord, if it be your will, will you heal Jimmy of his cold? You know what we're saying? We don't know if God wants to heal him of his cold or not. So is there real faith in that? There's not real faith. Real faith is Jesus. In Jesus' name, I pray for that cold to be gone right now. In Jesus' name, and I take authority over that cold. I take authority over every germ, bacteria, every virus. In Jesus' name, I believe that, God, you're going to heal Jimmy right now. Amen. Now, was that not a greater prayer of faith? Then, oh, Lord, maybe if it's your will and if it's your, you know, if you feel like it today, can you maybe heal him of a cold? That's not the definition of faith. And notice what the last thing says. It's assurance about things we cannot see. That's the problem, isn't it? The problem is having faith means you have to have faith in something you don't see. And so there has to be a place where we realize that if we're going to walk in faith, we have to have confidence, we have to have hope, we have to believe it'll happen, we have assurance, and realize that we can't see it at the time. So how do we get faith? We get faith from the Bible. The Bible gives us the answer. I want to have faith. I want to have faith. How do I get faith? Easy. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does faith come?
Hearing.
By hearing. And hearing what?
Word.
The word of God. Hearing, reading, studying the word of God. So how does faith come? Through the word of God. It comes through the word of God. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. And if even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so they may not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Even though You can get faith from this Bible. How many know the devil is trying to blind you? The devil tells you that, well, this is not really true. You can't really go by this Bible. Those stories that you hear about Moses crossing the Red Sea, that's not true. That didn't really happen. You hear about Ezekiel, he rises up into the chariots. He zapped out. Oh, that can't really happen. Hear about that, it says that there was a time where ravens, crows were bringing food to the prophet. Oh, I don't know if that really happened. You see, that's the devil trying to blind your eyes. He's trying to cause you not to believe this word. But where you get faith is from this word. So the question is, how much time do you spend in the word? If you don't spend time in the word, you're not going to have much faith. If you want more faith, one of the ways to get more faith is spend time in the word. So why do I like that little app? I love that app. You know why? Because the word is being shared to any person that goes there to get to hear the word. So I do the daily promises. So it's 3 minutes of reading a passage, reading a little comment about it, and then maybe making a commentary on that. It's only 3 minutes. Guess what? Anybody can listen to 3 minutes, and all they got to do is go to their phone. So you know what that means? Somebody is going to hear the word that wouldn't hear it otherwise. To me, that's exciting, because guess what? We can be a little bitty church, but you still get the word out there. And so when people hear the word, it stirs up faith. So let's go to the next slide. Guess how we can get faith? We get faith because God gives faith. How many know that? God is the one that gives faith. Romans 12:3. For through the grace that gave him to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each of us a measure of faith. God has given each of us a measure of faith. Every person in this room, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God gives you a measure of faith. And listen, if you're an atheist, and at the time you need to accept Christ, he gives you a measure of faith. Right? How do you accept Christ? You have to do it by faith. Well, you're not even born again yet. You don't even have the Spirit of God living in you yet, but God gives you a measure of faith to be able to trust in Christ. So God gives us faith. So if you're lacking faith, what can you pray? God, give me faith. You're the giver of faith, so Lord, give me more faith. And here, listen to me, it says we each have a measure of faith. Don't let that stop you, because you know what some people do? Well, God only gave me a little measure of faith. God just gave me a little dab of faith, so that's all I have to walk in. No, grow in faith. Ask God, you gave me a measure of faith, I want more. I want a big measure of it. Can you ask God for a big measure of faith? Is it sin to ask God to give you more faith? God, give me more faith than anybody in this world. Is there anything wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. Just be careful that you don't think highly of yourself when you have the faith. You ever met those people? They're the super-duper faith people, and if you don't believe like they believe, then you're not as close to Jesus. If they have super-duper faith, God gave it to them. They didn't get it from their own. God gave it to them. So let me give you an example. As all of us got a measure of faith, and all I'm held accountable to is what? The measure of faith that God gives me. I don't have to have the faith of somebody else. I just have the faith that God gives me. So we were doing our Extreme Saturdays. It was a worship that we did about 3 times a year in Capitol Hill over in Volunteer Park. And we'd have a time of worship for about 4 hours of worship and feeding the homeless, clothing, prayer tent, all kinds of things going on. And so we were praying one of the first times we were preparing for it, and it looked like it was going to be rain. It looked like it was going to be a lot of rain. Well, we have all this expensive sound system. We have speakers and everything else. And so we're praying and praying there won't be rain. And I says, okay, now that we're done praying that there won't be rain, just make sure that we cover those speakers up in case it rains. And somebody said, well, you have a little faith. I says, you're right. My faith isn't as big as yours. My faith is we're praying for it not to rain, but I'm going to bring plastic in case it does. That's my faith. And they say, well, you're weak faith. I have strong faith. My faith is much greater. It's not going to rain because we prayed it. I says, great. Give me the deposit on the speakers. So if the speakers are destroyed, I know that you're paying for those speakers. Well, why would I do that? It's not going to rain, so I don't have to do that. Well, if it's not going to rain, give me the money. Cover it. And if you won't give me the money to cover the speakers, you don't believe it all the way to yourself. And so out of it, if you have faith and it's great faith, that's great. But if somebody has lesser faith, it's the faith they have. Just don't attack people for the faith that they do have. Because it's what God gives us. Now, can we ask God for more faith? Yeah, God, give me more faith. You know how you give me more faith? Trials, tribulations, troubles to build you up in your faith. Okay, God gives faith. And then the last one I want to look at is how do we get faith? It's from among Christians. 1 John 1:3 says, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." What does John say? He says, "We have seen and heard and proclaimed to you." John is saying, we've seen this. We've seen Jesus raise the dead. We've seen Jesus heal the sick. We've seen Jesus go through trials and tribulations and still serve God. We've seen how God has worked in the midst of all the ministry that we're doing. We've seen people get saved, get born again. We've seen the Jews come to Christ. We've seen the Gentiles come to Christ. And he's saying that we have fellowship with you and that we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. And listen, our faith will build up others around us. So as you walk in faith, your faith, when God answers prayers by faith, others see that and it stirs up faith within them. Another thing you should do is hang with people who have faith. So there's an old saying, if you want to soar like an eagle, you don't hang with the turkeys. Turkeys don't fly. So if you surround yourself with people who lack faith, you're probably not going to have faith. But if you surround yourself with people who have faith, you'll probably walk in faith. So what should we be? We should be people of faith. So if somebody walks in the door has no faith, there's so much faith in this room, they can just feel the vibrance of that faith that is there. And in the midst of the preaching, in the midst of the teaching, and all that we do, that there's faith to believe. And what happens is there's something contagious about faith. Anybody know that? There's something contagious about faith. And I can tell you that right now, if God did an amazing thing and all of a sudden and Dustin has a broken leg and we lay hands on him and his leg is instantly healed, you think it'll stir up faith in somebody? Somebody will turn around and say, you know what? God does heal. And then they'll be crazy enough to go out and start laying hands on everybody. And because they have faith, guess what God will do? He'll heal people. Now, will he heal every single person? Maybe not, because guess what? If you don't have faith for God to heal you, then you better hope he has a whole lot more faith than you, because your negative faith may stop God using him to heal you. So the other, last 2 weeks ago when we had the movie that we watched, God really convicted me, because as we walked out of the movie theater, and at the time my leg was a lot more pain, but it was getting better. And it goes up and down, up and down. And how many know when you get sick and you have a lot of pain, if it gets a little better, you're suddenly happy it gets better and you don't really care if it's bad because it's better and all that stuff. And so we're walking out, and I'm thinking, I just went to the doctor. They tell me some things that I can do, so I feel a little bit better. I'm not limping as much. And there's a gentleman that says, does anybody need prayer? And I say, I did, but I'm okay now. And I walked out, and I walked to the car and says, I had an opportunity for prayer and I missed it. I said, I'm doing better. What is better? Best? Is better healed? And what if God wanted to heal me that day? And I didn't do it. Part of it, I don't know who the guy is. Okay? But what's the worst that can happen? I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. So I don't care if he's a witch. Can't affect me. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. So he's a goofball. What do I care? I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. But maybe, just maybe, God placed him there to pray. And maybe the only reason he was there is for me. And I missed out. How many times do we miss out maybe what God is doing? Because of either lack of faith, fear, or whatever it may be. And so that God can build faith among the believers. So just look at it. How do you get faith? You get faith, just one, read and hear the Bible. Read and hear. Hear. Why? Because when you read and hear, you're having two different things going into your body. You're in your eyes and your ears. You're having it that you're being filled with the Word of God. You cannot read this Bible without having some kind of faith that comes from that. And so out of it, you read and hear the Bible. You meditate on the Word. You chew on it. So you read a promise that there's a promise in the Word of God. So today, the promise was, yesterday was on security in the daily promise and trust in Christ that He's our solid foundation. When you know that Jesus is your solid foundation, what does it do? Doesn't that make you have more faith to know that Jesus is your foundation? I can trust in Jesus. Today was delegate. To delegate. The Bible teaches a principle. Jesus didn't try to win the world. What did he do? He had the 12 disciples to do what? Make disciples. So who won the world? The disciples of the disciples of the disciples delegating. What if I say that the Bible teaches if you don't want to get burned out to delegate? So I have faith as I delegate. I will not get burned out. And as I delegate, I have faith that God can use that other person. Now, what if you don't think God can use other people? That you're the best. Only you can do the best. You won't delegate. And you don't get to see God work. And you don't get to see God use somebody that's greater than you. And then the next way you get your faith is get it from God. God, I need more faith. God, I'm weak in faith. If Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith. Is Jesus saying that to you? Oh, ye of little faith? Then say, Jesus, well, then give me more faith. Give me more faith. And from the testimony of others, as we hear others' testimonies, that it encourages us, it builds us up, it causes us to want to have more of what they have. And so I look at it, and in America, honestly, faith isn't that great in the church in America. You go to other countries, they have amazing faith. You know why? They have to. They have to trust in God. When we went to the Philippines after the typhoon that went there, and I just saw just the hopelessness there, absolute hopelessness, but I saw people with hope because they believe that God can take care of them, that he can watch over them. And guess what? One of the ways that God was able to take care of them is what? Us doing missionary work. We get to be the answer. People that are praying, we get to ultimately be the answer at times. So what we're going to do is we're going to show a video clip is from the movie Hacksaw Ridge. Don't have a heart attack. I took out most of the horror scenes. It's only about 3 minutes long, but we're going to show this video clip on the movie that came out. It's called Hacksaw Ridge. It's about a Seventh-day Adventist gentleman who made a vow that he would not kill anyone. He wanted to go to war. This is World War II. He wanted to go to war. They're fighting on Hacksaw Ridge was on Iwo Jima, and he made a vow he would never hold a gun and that he would not kill anyone, and he wanted to be a medic. So watch this clip, and then we're going to talk about faith.
I was dreaming about being a doctor, but I didn't get my school. I can't stay here while all them go fight for me.
Do you figure this war is just going to fit in with your ideas?
While everybody else is taking life, I'm going to be saving it.
That's going to be my way to serve.
This is a personal gift from the United States government designed to bring death to the enemy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sergeant. I can't touch a gun.
You don't kill.
No, sir.
You don't go out there and kill him. It does occur in war.
Private Doss does not believe in violence. Do not look to him to save you on the battlefield.
So how come you don't fight? Are you thinking better than us?
No.
But what if he was a dead?
Whoa!
See, like that? Bible says it's on the other cheek, don't it? See, I don't think this is a question of religion, fellas. I think this is cowardice. Plain and simple.
Is that right, boss?
Well, come on. Take a poke! Tell you what, I'm gonna give you a free shot. Huh? Right there. Hit me, Dawes. Go on.
Let him have it.
Go ahead.
No?
Because you weren't like anyone else. You're saying you could go to prison.
I don't know how I'm going to live with myself if I don't stay true to what I believe.
It seemed like such a bad thing to me to want to put a little bit of it back together.
Private Dust, you are free to run into the hellfire of battle without a single weapon to protect yourself.
Get one more. So the story is this gentleman made a vow. Won't share all the details, I don't want to ruin the movie, but there's a reason why he chose not to handle a gun, reason why he chose not to kill anyone, but he wanted to go out to battle as a medic. He saved over 75 lives.
So
Is it based on a true story? Is it based upon a true story? He saved 75 lives. He experienced many injuries. That grenade, that you see the scene of the grenade coming and kicking it, he actually did that. Got shrapnel throughout his body. Watched the interview of him the other day. I was watching the interview of his story. Would you say he was a man of faith?
Yes.
Going to battle. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the Japanese at that time. They weren't very polite. They were vicious, very vicious. There's a scene you'll see in the movie to see how vicious, how evil that they were. He's going to battle, and you've seen that. Think about this. You're climbing up the ridge. That just boggles my mind on that alone. You're climbing up that ridge knowing the enemy's on the other side. And you're going to go there with no weapon, no way to protect yourself. And all you're going to do is rescue lives. Did that take faith? Absolutely, that took faith. How did he get there? He got there not just instantaneously, it was a process. What was the process? Well, the first thing is he tells them, I'm going to join the army, but I don't want to kill people, so I don't want to use guns or anything else. They say, sure, join us. Come and enlist. Guess what happens when he enlists? He enlists, and then they say to him that you have to use the weapon. You have to fire the gun. He says, I won't touch a gun. And they say, well, you think you're coming into the army and you're not going to touch a gun? He says, I was promised I wouldn't have to touch a gun. He was lied to. And they get him inside. So he had a choice, didn't he? And what they did, they said, we're going to give you a dishonorable discharge. And he says, I want to go to court. Go to court. And if you watch the movie, you see the scene, it doesn't look good for him. Who do they want to do it? They say, all you got to do is just hold a gun and practice with it. You never have to use it. Just practice with it. Now, me and you could argue over what's the big deal. Play with the gun for a little bit. Handle the gun for a little bit. Then when you go there, don't use it, right? But that wasn't where his faith was. His faith was is that I believe that God does not want me to even touch a gun. I have my reasons for it, and that God will still intervene on my behalf. And what did God do? Intervene on his behalf, because he had faith to believe that God would intervene on his behalf. And then he goes, and if you watch, I mean, it's just, some of it's just horrific to watch some of the things, but every person he's getting to rescue, and he's doing it under the most horrific conditions there is, every person he gets to rescue, he says, God, give me another one. God, give me another one. And I have to tell you, doing street ministry and working with people, how many times I say, Lord, give me one more person that we can get into treatment. Lord, somehow will you give me favor to be able to touch somebody's life, that their life can be made different. And it's by faith that you do that, and he has the faith to believe that. And his body is tore up. He has all kinds of injuries. His hands are raw from carrying the people. But what does he do? Lord, give me one more. Give me one more. The coward. Remember? He's called the coward. You see, cowards don't have faith. Heroes have faith. And so out of it, he gets all these men down. They can't figure out where all these bodies coming from. He's got people, literally, there were people who had their legs blown off, and they survived because of him rescuing them. So they turn around, and they realize what he's done and everything else. Well, then on the Sabbath, he would not work on the Sabbath. Okay, he's a Sabbath keeper. How many know that war don't stop on the Sabbath? But to be a medic, you can work on the Sabbath because you're taking the ox out of the ditch. Out of it, they turn around and they said they're going to have to go back again. They lost most of their men, and they're going to go back again. And he says, the only way I go is before we go if I can pray. If you let me pray and dedicate this time to the Lord, I'll go. So you see the scene on the end. It's a true story. True story. Turns around. They're waiting to go up on top. And they say, wait a second. He has to finish praying. And what the men said, we will not go up there on that ridge unless he comes with us. The coward? Unless the coward comes with us? Was he the coward? No, he was the hero. Why? Because he did what he felt he was supposed to do by faith. So they go up there again, and he rescues again. And it's a very interesting story because some of the people he rescues is the one who called him the coward. And what's interesting is to see the interviews of those who survived that to talk and share the story of what happened. That's the story of faith. Next week we're going to talk about faith without works is dead. He could have had all the faith in the world, and he just sits in his home and says, I have faith to believe and be a medic, but you know what? We'll just see how God does that. What did he do? He went to boot camp. And he did the same thing everybody else did in boot camp except fire the rifle. Everything else he did. And interesting enough, he did better than most of them. And out of it, you notice the one scene that the sergeant says, you need to know that private here doesn't touch guns and he doesn't kill people. Don't trust him. What did that feel like in front of a bunch of men? And then they set him up, and you see some of the scenes in the movie where he gets beaten up. He gets beaten up for his faith. Do you know that you can get beaten up for your faith? Do you know that people will mock you if you have faith? Do you know that some of us don't walk in faith and we don't share our faith because we're afraid that maybe God won't answer, he won't work, so we just keep our mouth shut. So we turn around and maybe you say, yeah, I have faith that maybe God can make us raise $2,500 to be able to give gifts to 10 refugee families. Yeah, I have faith that, but I don't want to say anything just in case it doesn't happen. Is that faith? That's not faith. Faith is, I believe that God's going to provide us the $2,500. And I'm trusting that I don't know how he's going to, I just believe he's going to do that. And if we have that kind of faith, what do? Faith without works is dead, so what do? We apply works to that. We do whatever we feel God's called us to do to help make that to happen. He had to do some things. He had to be willing to have bullets being fired at him as he's dragging guys to rescue them. Bullets are flying by him left and right. And instead of protecting himself, he's rescuing others. Now, could he have died? Would he still be a hero? Of course. If he rescued lives, he'd still be a hero whether he lived or died. Could God get the glory even if he died? Absolutely, God can get the glory because he did more than what most would do. He even said, this is the bad part, there were some Japanese soldiers even tried to save their lives. Now, interesting enough, they never made it down the hill. Somebody made sure they didn't make it down the hill. But he's saving whoever, because he made a vow, I save whoever's life. And knowing that you're going to be mocked, knowing that you're going to be condemned. And so we need to be at a place where you say, God, help me to walk in
faith. This is Pastor Rich. Do you need to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? If you want to get more information, you can always go to our website to learn how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can go to thereishopetv.org. That's thereishopetv.org.